السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, we once again continue with the subject which we were discussing prior to the entry of the month of Ramadan. But all the topics which were discussed in the month of Ramadan, which related to taqwa, were also connected with the same subject. Nevertheless, we were discussing a letter of Hazrat Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh to a student of his, in which he was giving some advice, some nasihat to this student, who had spent a number of years in his company, who had qualified, and after having left him, then he wrote a letter that, I know what is in the Quran, I know what is in the Hadith Sharif, I read so many books, but now give me something for my practical life, some advice and some nasihat which will be for my practical life. Meaning that if the person has got an accumulation of knowledge, it is not sufficient. Accumulation of knowledge is what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala describes in the Quran Sharif about the Yahud, that they used to have plenty of knowledge, but it was like piling books on the back of a donkey. If the person is not making any amal on that knowledge which he has accumulated, then it is just like the piling up of books on a donkey. The donkey does not become an alim, the donkey does not become a mufti and a qari sahab just because there are books on it. So this person, although there's a title of Mufti Sahab and Qari Sahab and Hafiz Sahab and Alim Sahab, but if he does not make amal on that knowledge, then it is just like the piling of those books. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala protect us. And I have mentioned this many times, that whenever these type of hadiths come or Quranic verses come, then we should not straight away start thinking of the ulama that we know who are not practicing on their knowledge. We should think of the knowledge that we ourselves have of Islam, and that is abundant. What we have ourselves is abundant. Everybody has the knowledge that namaz is farz 5 times a day, that to give zakat, to fast in Ramadan, to go for hajj is farz, that to stay away from adultery, to stay away from fornication, to stay away from gambling, and to stay away from all the other haram things, it is compulsory and essential. Now everybody has that kind of knowledge. Now what we have to see is that how much of amal do we make on that knowledge that we have. If we don't make any amal, then it is just like the person who has piled up, or that donkey on the back of which large number of books have been piled up. So this student of Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh, he was concerned that he wanted to be a practical person. He did not want to be just a person known as an alim of deen, with plenty of knowledge and with beautiful and powerful speeches that are delivered, and after that there is no practice. He did not want to be one of them. So Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh gave him a lot of nasihats, and I've already discussed quite a bit of it from here and there, because it's a very lengthy letter, but I'm just discussing certain sections and certain hadiths which he has mentioned there. But just something very interesting that just came to mind, which is mentioned in that letter, is that Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh says that, I read in the Injil. In the Injil he says, I read that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala questions a mayyat, the person who has died, and that person whose janazah is now being carried towards the graveyard. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala questions him 40 questions. He puts forward to him 40 questions even before he has reached his graveyard. And he says, amongst them, one is this, that Abdi, O my servant, for the sake of the people, you remained clean outwardly for a long, long time. But even for a single moment, did you keep yourself clean for my sake? He says, of the many questions, one of them is this, that, O my servant, for the sake of people, you dressed very clean and very neat. You did not like to go dirty to any walima, any wedding. We do not come dirty to the masjid. How clean and neat we look when we come to the masjid, or we go to the bazaar and shopping, or when we go to parties and festivities, or when we go to meet people, or when people come to meet us, if we are shabbily dressed, or if we are in our pajamas, then straight away we go and change and we want to look neat and nice and clean. So he says, for the sake of people, you remain clean for many, many years. Every time your concern was the people, that the people must look at me as a clean person. But how many hours or days or how many times did you keep yourself clean for my sake? In other words, I don't just look at your clothes. The outward is essential. You have to wear clean clothes. There must be no najasat on your clothes. There must be no dirt on your clothes. You must wash it if there is dirt. It is not necessary to have all the time clothes ironed and pressed. But what is essential is that the clothes must be clean and park, and that nobody must feel any kind of offense with our dirty clothing. In fact, that is why it is essential that on a Jummah day that you must have ghusl, you must change your clothes, because there will be a large congregation, and if you are coming just from work on a hot day, then it could be that the perspiration that has been absorbed by the clothes, the person next to you may find it offensive. So therefore apply itar also. Now all these things are there, that we have to keep ourselves clean. But for whom are we keeping our outward clean? That is the essential thing. If we are all the time just keeping ourselves clean for the sake of people, that they must look at us as clean, because the only thing they can see is our outside. Everybody can see our outside, that this person is looking clean. In fact, no matter how much of urine has been absorbed by the pants and the trousers of a disbelieving person, or even some believing people who do not take care of taharat, but if that pant is well ironed and well pressed and looking neat from the outside, then everybody says that this person is very neat and very clean and very presentable. But in the meantime, his pants has got, we do not know how much of drops of urine that has been absorbed in there. So in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, there's no cleanliness there. There's no purity there, no matter how much of outward purity they may appear. So therefore Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that I have read myself that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala puts 40 questions to this person who has died before he even reaches the graveyard. And one of it is that how many times did you keep yourself clean for my sake? That means how many times did you try to purify your heart for my sake? And your clothes also, how many times you kept it clean? Because it was my hukam that you should keep it clean and free from najasat. So this is one of the things that he mentions in that letter. And then he goes on and mentions one incident which I think I discussed here some years ago. And since he has discussed it there, therefore let us repeat. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi then states that Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi rahmatullah alayhi, who was a very great wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, a great alim, a great muhaddis, a mufassir, and in whose company many people came and made their islah. So Hazrat Hatim Asam stayed with him for 33 years. Now in those days they used to stay for years until they didn't get purification of their souls. They felt that we haven't attained anything. If the person after 10 years to felt that there's still show business in my heart, that I'm doing things for the sake of show. If that person felt after 20 years that there's still pride, it hasn't gone from my heart, then he felt that I must not leave my sheikh until I do not get that pride completely out of my heart. Now just imagine what kind of sacrifice and mujahada they used to make just so that they may have a purified heart. The purification of the heart is so essential and so important, the area which we have neglected so much today. And that is why all our amal are just surface, on the surface. There is nothing in depth. Just a little temptation on the outside, and again we are plucked away like the vulture taking away some dead corpse. Because we haven't purified the inside. Because if inside gets purified, if taqwa really comes inside the heart, then everything else will come right. His relationship with his family will come right. His relationship with his customers, with his friends, with his neighbors, everything will come right. Anger will come under control. He will only exercise that anger where it is permissible and where it is essential. Because anger is necessary. Without anger, there are lots of problems that a person can face. But he won't exercise that anger indiscriminately and just pull trigger on someone or start swearing someone or abusing someone. So this purification of the heart is so essential. So therefore Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi states that Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi rahmatullah alayhi, when Hazrat Hatim Asam after 33 years was leaving him and was going now, so he asked him that, what have you gained in these 33 years that you lived with me? In my company, 33 years of your life you spent, which is a long, long time. So you must have learned something. So what did you learn? Now if it had been one of us, we would have said we learned Bukhari Sharif, Tirmizi Sharif, Muslim Sharif, Abu Dawud Sharif, Nasai Sharif, and we learned tafsir, and we learned jurisprudence, and we learned all these type of things. But he said, I learned only 8 things. So Hazrat Hatim Asam Rahmatullah Alayh, when he said, I learned only 8 things, Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayh, he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. I wasted my time and you wasted your time. That's only 8 things you learned in 33 years. But in any case, now that you are parting, what are those 8 things that you learned? So he said, the 8 lessons which I learned, of course, Hazrat Hatim Asam was making namaz, keeping fast, giving zakat if due, and all the other farais he was implementing in his life. He was implementing the sunnats, the wajibats, everything he was doing. So he says, what are those 8 lessons that you learned? Instead of listing the whole list of kitabs that you learned by me, you are just giving me 8 lessons that you learned. So he says, the first lesson that I learned is that when I looked around, I saw that every person has got a love and an attachment to something or the other in this world. Every person has got an attachment to something or the other. Somebody loves his children, somebody loves his property, somebody loves his gold and silver, somebody loves his car, somebody loves other things that he has. But every person has got an attachment and a love for something or the other. He says, but when I saw that people are leaving this world, and when they are leaving this world, they are not taking any of those things with which they were attached. The person who had an attachment, for example, I'm just giving you an explanation. The person was attached to his beautiful car. The day and night is just shining his car. A little scratch also was worse than the biggest dent that ever came onto his heart. The biggest dents that came onto his heart of pride, of arrogance, of greed, of malice, of jealousy, of anger, those things didn't affect him one bit. If one small scratch came on his car, then it was as if Qiyamah came away upon him. He will beat that child, he will punish the person, he will stone that person, he will pull the trigger on that person. That means the person had such a kind of attachment. So we are not saying don't use the car. What we are saying that it must not have that kind of attachment. Then if this person had, so this car that he was attached to, when he left and went to the grave, then we didn't hear of anybody that said that this person had a great liking for this Merc of his, or for this Rolls Royce of his, and this king, whenever he used to ride, therefore he used to always ride in this particular car, which he has bought for $1 billion. So therefore now transport this also into his grave. He said, we never saw anybody taking anything into their grave. The person who was attached to his children, the person who was attached to his properties, everything they left behind, the only thing they took with were the deeds. So the good deeds, and then he says, I saw that the things only accompanied, some of those things accompanied him just to the grave. Some of those things that he was attached to remained at his home, didn't even accompany him to the graveyard. His house didn't come with him to the graveyard. Everything just remained there. Few family members and friends came up to the graveyard. So he says, I saw that everything didn't even accompany him to the grave. The only thing that went with him was his amal. So I chose amal saliha, righteous and good deeds I chose. In other words, gold and silver and properties and cars are not dunya. Many times I have said, if the person uses it in a correct manner, if the person uses it as Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have directed and are pleased with, then they can use the same worldly things to gain the closeness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and that same action now becomes amal salih. The person is eating, now that's food. But if he eats it in the correct manner, and if he reads the dua that is masnoon, now, and he eats with that niyat that I get strength in my body, then I will be able to go to the bazaar and earn halal for my family, and I will be able to do this and make ibadat and make namaz. Now that eating became way ibadat. Whatever he is doing, although they are worldly things, but if his niyat is correct, and he is doing it in the correct way, then now that became amal salih. So he says, I chose amal salih. For my Akhirat, I chose amal salih. I made my attachment to amal salih because that is the only thing that I knew will accompany me into the grave. Maal o aulad qabr mein teri jaane ko nahi. Maal o aulad qabr mein teri jaane ko nahi. Tujhko dozakh ki musibat se chudane ko nahi. Maal o aulad qabr mein teri jaane ko nahi. تجھ کو دوزخ کی مصیبت سے چھڑانے کو نہیں جز عمل قبر میں کوئی بھی تیرا یار نہیں، جز عمل قبر میں کوئی بھی تیرا یار نہیں، کیا قیامت ہے کہ اس سے تو خبردار نہیں. اسے مال و اولاد قبر میں تیری جانے کو نہیں، مال اینڈ اولاد آر ناٹ گوئنگ ٹو کم ود یو ان دا قبر، دے ول ناٹ بی ایبل ٹو سیو یو فروم دا عذاب آف جہنم. جز عمل قبر میں کوئی بھی تیرا یار نہیں، یور اونلی فرینڈ ان دا قبر از یور عمل. کیا قیامت ہے کہ اس سے تو خبردار نہیں. وین یو آر سیئنگ سو مینی جنازاز پروسیڈنگ ٹوز دا گریو یارڈ، وائی از اٹ دیٹ یو آر اسٹل ناٹ اویئر آف دس فینومینا؟ سو میک یوز آف دا نعمتس آف دس ورلڈ. Mal and Aulad, both things can become very, very beneficial and useful to this individual if he gave those children a proper upbringing, that those children will become a sadqa jariya for him when they will make dua for him, when they will read and send sawab for him. But if they did not give them proper upbringing, they didn't give them deen of Islam, they didn't give them sharia, they didn't give them akhlaq, they didn't give them the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the only thing they will be interested in, believe me brothers, we handle so many wills and estates, the only thing they are concerned with, those children who were a curse upon those parents, who were not concerned about assisting and helping those parents, and who had become a headache for those parents. The parents used to phone and tell us that this child is making me cry. He's in drugs, he's in this, he's in that. But the moment the father dies, the first thing they want to know, what is mine in the will as a son? So that is about the only thing they're interested. And once they get that, within a few days we have seen huge properties being squandered. Large sums of money being squandered. That person who could only afford to buy a certain amount of drugs, now that he inherited this money and he fought for it, and he with the trustees, and when he got it in his hand, then within a short time now he went to higher quantities and more expensive ones, or wine, women, and everything was gone. So now those kind of children are not going to help in the grave. So we have to be concerned to give them proper upbringing and send them to the right gatherings, send them to the right programs, put them into the right company, because there is no poison worse than bad company. It's worse than poison. Bad company is worse than poison. Children have a very impressionable mind. You take them to the wrong place once, and it has created an impression on their hearts. Take them to the casino. We have seen with our own eyes. We have seen with our own eyes. So that does not mean that I was gone there to gamble. But it so happened that I had to make a telephone call once, and I was in a place outside our borders, in another, I'm not mentioning the place, but I had to make a telephone call, very urgent, and all the lines were out of order, and they told me that the only line that is working is the one which is there in that casino. But it is not directly in the casino, it is a little out from there, the box is there and you can make a call from there. And when I went there, I couldn't believe my eyes, the number of Muslims that had traveled across the border to come there for gambling. And who did they have with them? Little children with them. That is why I say I saw with my eyes. And what did they do? When they saw me, now what are they going to say? I said, Mawlana, now these children just wanted to see what happens here, so we brought them along. I said, MashaAllah, very nice. So now those children are going to see the father throwing those coins in there, or playing those chips there. And they will tell the children, you also take a few rands and go and try on that machine there. Now when they grow up as compulsive gamblers, and when the whole property and business and the last pair of pants is also sold, then at that time they come complaining. So now those are not going to help in the qabr. Brothers, many times I have said that I can speak this 15-20 minutes on conditions around the world. But you know more about the conditions around the world than I do. And alhamdulillah, I also know something what is happening, and I like to speak on it, but every time I think that of what help is that going to be if I'm going to spend all my Jumas just speaking to you, you have that 15-20 minutes. When are we going to develop ourselves? Alhamdulillah, after the Ramadan programs, there are so many youth, wallah, I'm telling you, so many youth who have expressed an intention of giving up their bad and evil habits. And when they are mentioning what habits they were involved in, it shocks us beyond belief. But alhamdulillah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala brought them onto track. One young person tells me, Mawlana, he says, I was just very near the area where this masjid is. I'm not mentioning where and who the person is. Only that person knows and I know. And Allah ta'ala knows. Because whatever is said, it is in confidence and I don't mention anybody's name. If anything leaks out, it is that person himself who has leaked it out, or his family members know about it, or his friends know about it. But when they tell me in confidence, then I treat them as a patient. I don't look down upon them, irrespective of how far they may have gone. But the very fact that that person has decided to change his life, it is a great step. It is a giant step. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we do not know from where to where he will take that person. Kabhi ta'aton ka surur hai, kabhi aitiraf qusur hai. Kabhi ta'aton ka surur hai, kabhi aitiraf qusur hai. Hey malak ko jiski nahi khabar, wo huzur mera huzur hai. That sometimes the person is enjoying ta'at and ibadat and zikr and tilawat. And sometimes he's making aitiraf of his qusur, that, oh Allah, indeed I am sinful. I have committed this sin and I have committed that sin. I am ashamed of what I have done. And this tawbah then takes him from the floor, right up to the arsh. That is what the tawbah takes. That's how fast the speed of tawbah is. So this young person says that, Maulana, just very close to this masjid, in the month of Ramadan, a few friends and myself, while Taraweeh was taking place here, we should tell our parents we are going for Taraweeh. And then we should end up in a certain person's home, and there we should take drugs, and we should bring prostitutes in the month of Ramadan. When sometimes I become emotional, then people wonder why Maulana is getting stressed and emotional and all these type of things. But this is what this person said. But of course, as far as he is concerned, I treat him as a patient, a person I love and like, that the person wants to come out. He says, Maulana, in the month of Ramadan, I made sincere tawbah. If it had not been for your programs, I do not know where I would have gone. And he says that, I wish you had come into my life 20 years ago, or 15 years ago, or whatever it was. So this is what I am saying, that we have to develop ourselves. So Hazrat Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi, in this letter to his student, it states that Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayhi, when he questioned Hazrat Hatim Asam Rahmatullah Alayhi, said that I learned only 8 lessons in your company in 33 years. And the first lesson that he mentioned was this, that everybody made friend of something or the other. Every person is attached to something or the other. That love of those things is deep, settled in his heart. So I attached myself to Amal Saleh, because I knew that that is what is going to help me in my qabr, in my akhirat. And not only in the qabr and in the akhirat, but when a person has got Iman and Amal Saleh, then this person has got taqwa. And when he has got taqwa, then it is Allah Ta'ala's promises that it will help him in this world too. Why are we thinking that Jannat is far away, akhirat is far away, it will help in the qabr, we don't know when our qabr time will come. We must enjoy ourselves now. And what way will these things help us in this world? So these things will help in this world. These people have now found peace, happiness, contentment. They have found tranquility in their hearts. Their hearts which were shaken up. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when he sends earthquake, the earthquake shakes up the land. And thousands of buildings come collapsing. And we don't know how many thousands of people are washed away or buried beneath the sands. Earthquake that came in Turkey and so many other parts of the world, we all have read and we know what happened in Los Angeles, what happened. So the earthquake, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when he sends, it creates such a destruction. Buildings collapse, people die, this happens, that happens. So in the same way, when a person starts going in the line of sins, when he increases his sins, when he indulges in vices, then Allah ta'ala shakes his heart up. There is a shake-up of that heart, an earthquake takes place in that heart. The person who has got a little bit of Iman, he realizes that there is something wrong. Why am I becoming restless? Why is my life becoming miserable? Why is it that I feel burdened? Why is it that I feel like some weight on my shoulders? Why is it that I'm always complaining as presently people are complaining? That there's so much of anxiety and so much of restlessness. I have everything, but I feel so restless. These people will realize that this is that shake-up of that heart. And the only way to get cured of that is again to turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When the earthquake takes place in disaster area, then my Shaykh says that Allah, that the government declares that as a disaster area, meaning that now the government will provide finance and the government will provide cement and sand and material for the reconstruction of your building. So he says, when the person destroys the evil desire that has come into his heart, evil desire has come into his heart, that will also shatter when he's not going to go ahead with it. A pretty woman is inviting him for zina. Now at that time, there's nobody that is there, and there's no restriction. Now at that time, when there is such a temptation, So at that time the person says, no, I fear my Allah, and he restrains himself. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will then declare his heart a disaster area. And Allah ta'ala will not reconstruct it with cement and sand. Allah ta'ala will reconstruct it with his noor. And when the noor of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come into that heart, then see what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, what kind of palaces he reconstructs in your heart. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you and the entire ummah the tawfiq of realizing that Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was rahmatul lil alameen. And whatever he said, there was nothing in there but rahmat for us. But that rahmat, we have to become the recipients of it by making amal on his teachings. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will fulfill his part of the contract, that he will give us what he has promised. We have to fulfill our side. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. I will conclude with just one announcement. That we all know what happened last year, millennium celebrations, and everybody was just getting ready to head for the beachfront and for the clubhouses and the dancing halls and the cinemas and the theatres. Now this year we are just out of Ramadan, and it is now New Year's that is coming, and people will be heading for the clubs and the beachfront and the bazaars, where there's so much of intermingling and so much of haram entertainment and fun and pleasure that's taking place, that the person's spiritual life will be totally destroyed. So to save our little children who are very desirous of New Year's going and spending on the beachfront, I've got a program here on Sunday night, which will start after Isha. After Isha, we'll have Yasin Sharif and Surah Mulk. Then we will break for a little while, and then from quarter past 11 till quarter past 12, there'll be some zikr, some Naat Sharif and some other program, and dua. So bring your children and spend it in the masjid, and keep them away from that outside environment, if you want them to be an asset to you in future life, and if we want them to be the coolness of your eyes. Now there is an opportunity to bring the children, bring them and let them find tranquility, and we ourselves will find tranquility, peace and comfort. So try and stay away from those areas which invite the wrath of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We do not know what happens and where it happens. Suddenly if that strikes in those areas, then it will be very embarrassing for that person too, and for the ummah of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In China, we just heard the 360 odd people died in the disco. Somewhere cinema burned down, so many died. Somewhere in the beachfront something happened, so many died. Some hotel, there was singing and music and dancing, and the ceiling collapsed and so many died. So stay away from such places. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.